Just when you think this offseason is slow and boring, the NBA loves to just give you one of these. And this is an episode of The Dream Take presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Jeremy Brenner here, and today, Mr. Michael Brown, we've got a lot to talk about.
Mike, yes, sir, there? I'm here. How are you?
I'm fantastic, fantastic.
Always good to be on with you, my brother.
But before we start the show, I'd like to send out some good vibes to native Houstonians that are dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Nicholas. I hope that everyone is staying safe in the Houston area. And Mike, are you safe?
Yeah, man, all is good here. Scary overnight. I hate to say that it, you know, after Harvey, you know, every other tropical storm or level one hurricane that it was doesn't really scare us all that much. So we're all good, man. Looking to get back to normal tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, again, like just things they love to kind of sideswipe you like this. But let's talk John Wall.
Yes, sir.
Because this Rockets offseason felt like it was about to hit a wall. And then we kind of got this thrown at us. But let's just kind of bring it to the start. Shams Charania, our former Dream Shake contributor, Kelly Eco, reported today that the Rockets and John Wall are working towards an agreement that will have John Wall on the sidelines this season. The chances that we've seen John Wall play in a Rockets uniform for the final time is extremely likely. So, Mike, initial reactions when you saw the news today?
Yeah, so I actually haven't heard this take as of yet, and this is where I'm at with this. Everyone in the league knew. Everybody who's a Rockets fan has known for the past 6 months, I would say, they've been trying to move John Wall. This news got pushed today because there is no market for John Wall, and they're trying to pick up some sort of a market. That's where I'm at with it. This is not new news. Like, the fact that this is leading, you know, the leading story on ESPN is shocking to me because they were never going to keep John Wall. As soon as they drafted Jalen Green, that was the nail in the coffin for John Wall. So the fact that everybody seems to be shocked that now they're trying to move him, and we've all known this. I mean, you and I have talked about this on this show multiple times. The fact that John Wall does not fit into the future plans, and they're trying to drum up any sort of interest. I think the Rockets are going to have to give up at least a first-round pick to make this trade happen with whoever they send him to, because no contender is going to take him on just for the sake of taking him on. He's not that good anymore. He just isn't.
I don't think there's a trade made, because that's not what the article really said. They said there was an agreement to move on from him, but that doesn't exactly mean a trade is on the table.
Right.
It just means that he's not going to be on the court. He'll be there for training camp, and that means to me that they're not trading him anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, buy him out. You know what I mean? Like, do you feel like they're just dancing around the topic of buying him out? I guess that's what I'm trying to say is the reason this tweet came out today is that the Rockets, somebody important with the Rockets floated this to Sham saying, hey, we had this conversation with John today. You know, we're both looking to move on. And he publishes this. The Rockets are trying to find a
trade. Well, Kelly was the one who published it, Mike.
Okay. Kelly published it. Shams ran with
it. And Shams was obviously on it because it's from The Athletic and he's the main Athletic guy. But the main article first came from Kelly before anyone.
They're going to have to buy him out. No one's taking on a contract of a guy who's played in 113 games over the last four seasons. Okay, so.
But it takes two to tango, Mike. And just because the Rockets want to buy him out doesn't mean John Wall wants to buy him out. And to be honest, John Wall has nothing to gain from getting bought out.
Oh, he's got a lot to gain. from getting bumped.
What does he have to gain?
The fact that he's got more money already than 99.9% of the American population, and that he wants to play for a team where he's going to play in games that matter. That's what he
is. The dude's going to make $91 million over the next 2 years, and he doesn't even really have to play. Why would you want to give any of that up?
Because some guys look at their bank account and say, you know what? I do have enough. Maybe John Wall is one of those guys. Now, would I leave $91 million on the table? No. If you said you're going to get paid $91 million to go clean toilets for 2 years, I would do it. But I'm saying that, but some of these guys aren't like that. Like John Wall's earnings up until this point in his career, he's got to have made over $150 million. And I get what is.
And he's about to make $90 million. Yeah. He's about to make, if $150 million is correct, and I know that's just a number that you threw out, but he's making, that would be what? That'd be 60% of what he's already made in his career. So that's not that's not a small amount of money.
It's not a small amount of money, but he could just do this for this year to get away from he obviously doesn't want to be a Houston Rocket anymore. That's why the Rockets are trying to do right by him so he has positive things to say about the Rockets moving forward. They're trying to find a new home for him. And I'm sure we're going to get to the elephant in the room of, would you trade John Wall for Ben Simmons? I'm sure we're going to get to that point at some point in the show.
He's made $184 million in his career.
So right there.
Pretty close. Yeah, so he's about to make, over the next two seasons, he's going to make $44 million this upcoming season, $47 million the following year. That's $91 million. So he's projected to make about half of what he's made through 11 years in the league.
But he could be very a la John Wall or Chris Paul, where he got out of, he didn't sign his initial contract extension right away.
Yeah, but John Wall is no Chris Paul. That's the thing.
No, that exactly. And so yes, do I think that there's a low likelihood of a buyout? I think there's a low likelihood. It depends on how much money Tillman wants to throw at him to go away. You know, John may look at it and say, okay, like in your opinion, Jeremy, what do you think a buyout would look like for John Wall? How much money do you think Tillman would have to throw at this to not have to be on the hook for $90 million?
That's tough to tell because the thing is, it's a lot of money. It's just so much money that you're paying a guy to not play for you.
I mean, if you were Tillman, let me ask you this, Jeremy Brenner dash Fertitta, would you give him $30 million in a buyout? Because I think that's the minimum of what it would take.
The thing is, you have to, like the $30 million, you have to gain something from that, right? And what you gain is a roster spot. You gain the roster spot, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Rockets, I don't think $30 million is worth freeing up a roster spot at this point. Not to mention, you're going to have to pay whoever fulfills that vacancy money too.
Well,
so you're paying a guy, like, let's just assume you're paying a guy like a, I mean, let's say you give Dante Exum his spot, just to throw a random name out. I'm using Dante Exum as an example because the Rockets have had rumored to have had discussions to bring him in for training camp possibly. So let's assume you bring, like, I'm not paying $30 million to have John Wall not play for the Rockets and then pay Dante Exum, you know, $5 million or however much you were making last year. That's $35 million to put Dante Exum on the roster instead of John Wall. And to me, that's not worth it. That's not worth an investment of $35 million. I personally think, look, you have to take on the Wall salary. Like, you have to, one way or another, whether you trade it for different salaries, which personally I think is not a good idea because then you're taking on just another bad contract. At least with John Wall, you have a guy who is a good leader, who can really help this team, who was clearly, in that article, it was stated how much of a help he was to the team despite being injured, despite all of the losing, how critical of a role he played on the team. And I do believe there is value in that. So at least when you get this, I think for this season, you keep him on until January, February. Then you look at the market again, see if anyone's willing to bite. But if not, like, you know, keep Wall for the season. Honestly, like, if he's willing to sit now,
maybe there becomes a point where John Wall gets antsy and he says, okay, let's buy out. Let's do this thing. But I think for now, like the Rockets, it's in their best interest to keep him on, wait and see if there are any offers. You never know which point guards are going to go down during the season. You never know who might be interested now that isn't interested, who will be interested later that isn't interested now. And for John Wall, I think it's also in his best scenario because you're looking to get into a good position. Like, and there are several situations that he could have gone to. Like, I think the Clippers could have been an option for him, but they ended up going with Eric Bledsoe, his college teammate. That he could have gone with Miami, but Miami opted for Kyle Lowry. And right. then so at this point, there's just not a whole lot of promising positions. Like Cleveland doesn't make sense. I know people are like, you know, let's do that. Or let's talk Philadelphia, because I know Philadelphia is the one that's easily been brought up because of the Ben Simmons deal, because of the history between Philly and Houston.
Yeah. Before we do that, though, I do want to touch on a couple of things. Number one, Omo makes a great point in the chat. There is no evidence that he was a good leader either here or in Washington. His teams have never done diddly. They've done nothing.
Listen, no, that's not what have true they done? At all. Yes, there's plenty of evidence. There's
what absolute, have they like, done?
Hearsay, just listening to people.
Okay, so congrats, John. You were a great leader on a team.
Yeah, he has the respect of his teammates. I think that is considered good leadership.
Okay, but if he was so happy to be here, this story from Kelly wouldn't have ran. Like, he doesn't want to be here. And I don't blame him, Jeremy. But, like, the thing is, like, you say, what is there to gain by buying him out? It's easy. If you pay him $30 million, you're saving $60 million in salary. Like, if that was on the table today, you're going to tell me.
But you don't have the value of John Wall, which clearly is
there
not.
There is no value. But there is none. There's no value to him on this team.
There is. Zero. There is value with him. It's not worth however much he's making, his $91 million over 2 years. It's definitely not worth that, but
you have veteran leadership in the locker room already. So you have DJ Augustine, who in my opinion, you would look to and say, okay, you've been in the league longer than John. Are you the player that John is? No, but you actually serve more of a purpose on this team. DJ Augustine does as your backup one than John Wall does. You already have a solidified guard rotation with Jalen Green, with Kevin Porter Jr., with Eric Gordon still here. So where is he going to fit in that? And he opens up a roster spot, like you said, for a guy like Josh Christopher. That getting Josh Christopher minutes is more important.
Josh Christopher already has the roster spot.
He has one, but he's not going to be on he's going to be a
– Well, the thing is, if John Wall's not going to play, which he's already said he's not, then Josh Christopher has that spot in the rotation.
Okay,
so it's already resolved. That issue that you brought up is already resolved by what he's currently doing right now.
So you're going to pay him to stay away from the
position you made is already done.
But what you're talking about is keeping a guy to serve. He's not going to play in games. So why do we need him?
Because there is value to players outside of just what they do on a basketball court. There are five guys that can play on a basketball court at a time, but it takes more than just five guys to win a championship. It takes the 15 guys you have on the roster, the two-way guys, the whole coaching staff, and John Wall is a smart basketball mind. And having him, you might as well have him. Having him in training camp, clearly the Rockets see value in that. Otherwise, they would have cut ties from a while ago.
They see value in it because they can't do anything with him on the trade market, and their owner is too cheap to buy him out.
Yeah, so why not turn a negative into a positive here?
There is no upside. They're trying to turn
this negative situation, this negative contract, this negative value contract into something that is beneficial for all sides. It's beneficial for the Rockets because they can continue on with their youth movement, give Kevin Porter and Jalen Green and Josh Christopher all the more reps that they need. And you give the team just that peace of mind that they're, you know, in a good place. And I think John Wall is also doing this because he's a good businessman. I think he's looking to do this and just act in good faith because he understands the situation. He understands that even though he is as good of a player as he is, I don't think this is John Wall giving up on the Rockets. I don't think this is John Wall quitting the Rockets. I think this is John Wall recognizing the room, reading the room, and realizing that he is not the best fit here.
No, and he's not. I agree. Listen, we're on the same page. I'm saying that if you're the Rockets, paying him to stay away from the team for regular season games, training camp, you can participate in. Great. Fantastic. But if he's not going to play in regular season games, he's not helping his trade value by not playing. So he's just sitting there. Buying him out makes the most sense. But Tillman needs to pony up the money to say, thank you for your time. We appreciate it very much. There's the door. Go figure out where you want to go play. But if he's but if you're not going,
it's a unique position. Pay him,
you play his ass. I'm not in the business of paying these guys to sit on the bench. He's going to be the most expensive coach in the league by 10 times. That interests you? Because it doesn't interest me.
But I think that, to be honest, Mike, that's better to me than sending him money to go away.
It does. In what way? You're not, if he's not going to play, if he's not going to enhance his trade value, right? You and I talked about it earlier this year, right? The only way to improve the trade market for Eric Gordon is John Wall is you have to play him. When we talked about the rotation, correct?
Yeah. So, like, here's.
So, if we're going against.
Here are the two sides of this coin.
We can't help him. Or he's not helping us. The two sides of
this coin are they keep him or they send him away. They keep him, they pay him the $90 million. Or however much he's supposed to make, or at least the $44 million this season. Maybe that's what the buyout will be, is we'll pay you one season's worth. We'll fully guarantee your contract for this season.
Yeah.
That's probably what the Rockets are asking, and John Wall's probably asking for more. This is honestly probably what happened or what's been happening, is John Wall and the Rockets are trying to find a buyout. Or trying to discuss the season, the Rockets offer a buyout scenario. John Wall says, okay, let's talk. And John Wall wants more money in the buyout than the Rockets are offering him. And that's why John Wall is saying, you know what? Training camp's coming up. I'll do training camp. And I think John Wall is doing that in good faith so that the Rockets will say, okay, John, you helped us here in training camp. We'll give you a little bit more money. And you can go be good elsewhere. That's honestly probably what's happening.
That's why I said the conversation starts at $30 million. You know, like you looking at it. Now, the thing is, I agree with you. And I would still do that deal, dude. If
it's difficult because, like, John Wall earned that money. John Wall earned that money. Whenever that contract was made, he earned that money.
He earned
a max contract. He earned a max contract.
Yeah, because, but he's a great player.
It doesn't matter. The Washington Wizards, the team that employed him at the time, felt that he was worthy of that contract. So he did deserve that contract because his employer gave it to him.
He earned the right by being the caliber of player that he was to negotiate as much money as he could get. He got it. But he's not worth that contract now. He's not worth a fraction of this contract. But he's worth that because somebody was willing to pay him that. But the caliber of player that he is,
exactly,
the Rockets need him to go, whether it's via trade or buyout. If they can't get a trade in the next 2 weeks, I would say, before training camp, you can't have him on your
But I think this report is the Rockets waving the white flag saying, we've tried trades, we've tried buyouts, we've tried all of that. It's not going to work. And to me, it's eventual. It will happen probably, I would say, by the All-Star break.
He better be gone before the All-Star break.
Well, the thing is, Mike, is I don't think there's much of a rush to get rid of him. I don't think it's a he better be gone because it's like he's not doing any harm right now.
But he will be once the season starts. He's a distraction. He's a four.
No, he's not a distraction. 100%. He's not going to be with the team. How is he a distraction?
Because because you're paying him $40 million in a salary and he's not with the team.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with the team on the court at all.
But you know what this, but it becomes a distraction for the coaching staff. You know what this is?
Why?
You know what this is?
The coaching staff doesn't have to play him.
No,
the coaching staff will not have the ability.
Right, but all the questions
will
not
be with the team.
Do you know what this is? This is Kawhi Leonard in his last year in San Antonio. Except Kawhi was a superstar, but John Wall.
No, I don't. I think it's far from that. I think it's far from that.
The situation is similar.
The Rockets are in a direction that is very different from John Wall. The Spurs and Kawhi Leonard was their direction. And Kawhi said, you know what, guys? No, I don't care if I'm your favorite player. Like, I'm not going to play for you. And so it's far different than Kawhi Leonard. And John Wall is not a distraction for this team at all. I think if anything, this is John Wall not being a distraction. This is him saying, because he could go about this in so many different ways. He could say, you know what? No, I'm playing. You guys are paying me all this money. Of course I'm going to play. And I'm going to take time away from the guys that you want to develop and need the reps more than I do. Or he could say, you know what? Trade me. I'm not going to report to training camp. There's no place for me on this team. I'm done. He's not doing any of that. He's doing the exact opposite of what James Harden was doing last year.
I mean,
he's saying,
yes,
you know
yes and no. Yes and no. No, what he's actually doing something very similar. He's quitting on the roster is what he's doing.
No, he's not.
100% is. How is he not?
No, because he's
saying,
not.
I'm going to sit out until you move me. That is quitting on the roster. I'm not saying I just
okay,
agree
but he's
with
doing
him.
That.
I'm saying,
but he's doing that in the best interest. He's the captain going down with the ship. He is, because the thing is, they brought him here to go be with James Harden, and when James Harden was the captain and he flew the ship, John Wall stayed on the ship, and John Wall rode the ship out until it went absolutely rock bottom, and now it's time for the ship to die. John Wall is the captain. He's going down with the ship. And the Rockets now have the ability to be flexible again. And if anything, that's admirable for a captain to go down with the ship. It's one thing to be like wanting to go out elsewhere or to jump onto the next ship that the Rockets are trying to go on. But no, he's taking responsibility. He's saying, like, this is where the team is at. I respect where they're at. Let's come to an agreement. This is what I'll do for you guys. And when the season starts, we're gonna let the rookies run. And I respect that. Honestly, I think that John Wall is doing good business with the Rockets, maybe because he wants a little bit more money from them than they're offering currently. And perhaps the value that he'll bring during practices, during training camp, all of that, perhaps that will be what the Rockets will say. Because honestly, like, the Rockets in the past have shown signs of negotiating in good faith. They sent James Harden to where he wanted to go. They sent PJ Tucker to a contender like he asked. They signed Gerald Green to that contract. They've acted in good faith on a lot of recent moves. And I do think that this is a continuation of that pattern.
I hear that opinion. I will never agree with it because fine. He barely played last year, like on a grand scale.
Exactly.
No, but that's like, what I'm saying. Anything, let's not build him up to be this. He was the captain of whatever, because he wasn't.
But that's what he was brought here to do.
He was brought, but he can't. He's not a leader, dude. He wasn't a leader.
He is.
Okay,
he is.
You know what? If you want to put on his resume, leader of team with worst record in league, that's fine. You want to tell me that this is him? Again, I'm not saying that he's doing the wrong thing, but he is quitting on the roster. He's doing the same thing Harden did. He wants a new team. Like, I'm not going to sit here and applaud the guy for sitting out and making $42 million. You're never going to get that from me, ever. Period. End of story. Because that's what he's doing. Whether it's
okay,
by the direction of the franchise or by himself, that's fine. But he's still sitting out making all of this money. Tillman needs to make this situation go away. It's not a problem because him being off of the court is actually better for the Rockets, but it's still a situation that does not need to be a part of your day-to-day activities as a coaching staff or as a roster. That's my point.
Here's why Wall is valuable. And I'm not saying this as Jeremy. I'm saying this as what I read in Kelly's article, and I trust Kelly because I know Kelly and I know he's a good writer and I know that he's a good journalist and I know that he's telling this story truthfully. I trust it. So this is what he says in the article. I'll read it verbatim out of the article that is currently on my screen right now. Sources said the original plan was for the Rockets to keep Wall around and revisit the situation in a year's time. Wall is liked in Houston, something that has been spoken about publicly and behind closed doors. During the 2020-2021 season, Wall served as a valuable ally to Silas, almost serving as an assistant coach of sorts to the first-year head coach. The two were in constant communication about everything concerning the team, from culture and environment to X's and O's. Assuming Wall had stayed for the 21-22 season, finding a deal for him would have been easier in the offseason when Wall would have an expiring contract. The Rockets understand Wall's position and his desire to win at the highest level, while also understanding where they are as an organization in the big picture. Last season was a disaster by all accounts, with injuries and losses galore as the Rockets were forced into a rebuild after Harden's departure. So that, to me, shows that the Rockets value John Wall as a leader. That is something that Steven Silas, the head coach of this team, values John Wall. And that, when I say that he has leadership skills, that is why he does, because of what Steven Silas has said about him. And I think he's vetted. I vet Steven Silas. He's a very bright basketball mind. And if he sees John Wall as an ally, as an equal, then yeah, I would like to think that John Wall is a leader based on that, you know, designation.
Sure. My point earlier was looking at on-court performance. I get all of the building the culture and building this and that. That's great. All of that's fantastic. But on-court performance, John Wall was a net zero last year for the Rockets. If you want him as an assistant coach, you want him as a part of your front office, fine. But the fact is, we are paying John Wall to be a member of the Houston Rockets active roster. If he's not going to do that, which today it was stated as such, he's got to go. Like, I'm not going to advocate him being a part of this. Good. Thank God.
Well, he's gone.
If he's gone, what do you mean? You're talking about he's eventually gone, or like something just happened?
No, he's like, the thing is, I don't understand why Wall being on the roster but not with the team is that much of an issue.
Because it's just not a good look. Like, it's
why?
Because if you're going to utilize $41.6 million of your cap space for a team, like, think about this, right? What did they do? What did they do this offseason? They went out and they added Daniel Tice, and they re-signed David Nwaba.
And they drafted four rookies,
right,
who are all in need of more reps for the future of the team than John Wall is. And right. Yes, look, Mike, I'm totally with you on the whole $42 million. I would like to play a guy that's making $42 million that is probably making more money this season than the entire rest of the team combined. Maybe take out Eric Gordon. But I think it is so valuable to have a guy like that. He is, by money standards, the most valuable player on the team. But
so
the Rockets
are
in this position because of the mistakes that they made in recent years. They gave Chris Paul the contract that he gave, but they gave up too early on that. And that led to the Russell Westbrook contract, which has now led us to here. And the Rockets would be in the same situation had they, you know, had they gone with the Russ contract. Like, the past mistakes they have made have buried them into the position that they're in now. And this is just a consequence that they have to face. There's nothing else to it. And for me, trading him for, like, Ben Simmons, it could just give you a new set of problems. That it's like trading broccoli for candy and saying the broccoli is still candy. It's not. No,
well,
it's just adding someone else's problems. And at this point, the Rockets, what they need to do is they need to cut ties from that whole cycle of a contract, because for the last 4 or 5 years, ever since they signed that Chris Paul contract, they have been seen as having the worst contract on the roster for like 3 or 4 years straight. And it continues this year with John Wall. And it will continue until he's off the roster. And yes, even when he's gone, there will be those fans that say, we still owe John Wall, you know, all this money. And yes, like, that eventually the Rockets are going to have to pay John Wall a considerable amount of money to not play basketball. And that sucks. Like, that is so
like, excuse my language, that is so shitty. The fact that we have to pay millions of dollars to a guy to not play basketball for us. Like, that is embarrassing. Like, it's the Mets when they pay Bobby Bonilla $1 million and Bobby Bonilla hasn't played baseball in 30 years. Like, he still gets paid $1 million by the Mets, and the Mets get shat on every year for that. And the Rockets are going to be that team, whether it be with John Wall or whoever they trade him to, and they'll buy out whoever. Like, they are – and that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But it's what we – it's our reality. We have to live in it, and we have to move on. And this, to me, is showing the signs that the Rockets are ready to move on.
So that was a fiery, passionate speech, and I love it when you get fiery and passionate. Here's my statement to this, right? Great franchises figure out ways out of dire situations, okay? That's what this situation is. Because here's my question to anybody who's saying, pay him to not be with the team, okay? Like you said, right? What they would be doing, they would be paying his salary, keeping him on the roster, but he's not showing up to games, right? How are you improving his trade status? Like, how are you adding to, hey, you know, if you go to Philadelphia or you go wherever and you say, hey, you know, in November and say, hey, do you want to trade for John Wall? Well, John's not playing. What does he look like? How, you know, he's averaging 0.0 assists and 0 rebounds. So it's like all you're doing is delaying. My thing is, if you do what was described today all over Twitter by he's going to participate in training camp, but he's not going to play in games, all you're doing is delaying the buyout. Tillman has to step in here and put, for lack of a better term, he's got to put his balls on the table, and he's got to say, dude, what do you want? Like, tell me what you want. Give me a realistic number for this situation to be done with. Use the stretch provision where you can pay him out over 5 years and move on. Because this, the longer you...
But you could also worsen his trade value. Like, let me ask you this. When we acquired John Wall back in November, is his trade value higher now than it was when we first got him?
No, because he barely played last year.
I would say it's lower. Absolutely lower. Because he was injured most of the year.
Correct.
And he could, and he's healthy now, but if you play him again, he could get injured again. And that to me is, I think personally, John Wall wants to get bought out because teams that he wants to go to are unable to trade for him. And I think he wants the agency to be able to sign with whoever he'd like to, and to in a way, forge his own destiny. Because to be honest, I guess other than, you know, re-signing with the Wizards once or twice, he hasn't been able to pick his next destination. You know, he was traded to Houston, but it wasn't necessarily his choice to be traded to Houston. But
right,
like, this would give John Wall the first opportunity at free agency to pick somewhere else to go, to pick his own next chapter. And
that's,
I think that's why he wants the buyout, but he isn't feeling good about how much money he has to leave on the table in order to go elsewhere.
And that's where, look, man, that's where Steven Silas has to step in too. You know, if they are,
Steven Silas needs to worry about getting these rookies in check. Like, Steven Silas and John Wall, like, that John Wall is so last year.
No, he is. But what I'm saying is that you talked about the relationship that Steven and John have together. That's where Steven's got to step in. Coach Silas has to. It feels weird calling a coach by his first name.
I think Coach Silas is probably like, you know what, John, like, you did a lot for this team, and I respect that you have to go your own way. And I'm glad that you're here for training camp, and you're going to be a huge help to the team. And, you know, when you do move on, I wish nothing but the best for you. That's a very Steven Silas answer, right?
Right. But but he also needs to get in his ear and say, look, you've told me once or twice about what the negotiations are like with Tillman, right? He's offering you, you know, $30 million over 5 years. Look, to be honest with you, I've spoken with Tillman as well. I know I can get him to 40. Call it 40, go to the team that you want, ball out this year. You can sign your, you know, a new contract, you know, a 3-year, $100 million contract after this year. Get to your new team is what I'm saying. Like, if Coach Silas can step in and kind of facilitate that divorce with Tillman, I think that's what it needs to get done. Because I think if it's just up to Tillman, Tillman is too set in his ways to say, look, I'm going to pay you this and that's it. Like, I'm done. Like, anything that if you've ever watched of Tillman Fertitta, like, he seems like that type of guy. Like, here's my number. I'm done. Finish. That's it. That's why I'm saying that him getting involved with Steven Silas getting involved, I think that would be the best for both sides, the Rockets and John Wall.
Where would you like to see John Wall go next?
Trade partner, because I think we need to talk about trade partners first.
I guess we should, but you give yours and then I'll give mine.
I mean, if we're going to trade him, I mean, look, I know people hate this. If you're talking about the trade market and it was available, I think I would do the John Wall for Ben Simmons deal. I don't hate that deal as much as other people Why? Do at this point. Because there's not Why? Another Why? Option. Like, if you – would you rather buy him out or get Ben Simmons? If you Jeremy Brenner, if it costs the Rockets upwards of $60 million over a five-year stretch deal, right, where $12 million a year was coming off of your cap to pay John Wall starting next year, or would you rather have a guy who's all NBA defensive team who doesn't require the ball in his hands and he can actually do a lot of things on the court, especially defensively, that I think this young roster could benefit from? So if you're going to pay a dude, yeah, a dude, right, whether it's John Wall or Ben Simmons, I'm taking Ben Simmons over cutting John Wall and owing him $60 million over 5 years. That makes zero fiscal sense to me. So
for context, Ben Simmons is making making $33 million this upcoming season, age 25, $35 million, age 26, $37, age 27, and $40 million when he turns 28 in 2025. The reason why I mention that, he's 25 years old. He's super young, and right, he can still change and get better, I think.
Yep.
I just think he needs a new start, a new situation for him. And I do think that Houston would be a place that he could do that, because I like the idea of I like the potential of like Kevin Porter being the main ball handler. I like Ben Simmons, but not Ben Simmons as the main ball handler. I think at this point he is best utilized as a four, like almost like a defensive four, kind of like a, dare I say, like a, not, I don't think his game's like Draymond Green's, but like he's like, I think he needs to be a defensive first guy and just be the best damn defender in the NBA. And make an NBA defensive team. And you know what? Yeah, be there on offense to pick and pop or pick and roll even.
Well, he
cannot pick and pop.
You know? No, but I get what you're saying. Like,
pick and roll. Definitely pick and roll. I could see him as like a pick and roll partner with a Jalen or with Kevin Porter. I think that wouldn't be a terrible idea. When you say Ben Simmons and John Wall not playing, yeah, I'll obviously didn't say Ben Simmons. But the thing with Ben Simmons is there's just a misinterpretation of value. And the thing is, the only way Daryl Morey is going to give Ben Simmons to the Rockets for John Wall is if the Rockets throw picks in.
Would you do it?
No,
because I would
not. Not for picks. I'm not giving up future assets because I do believe the future assets that are going to be valued, you know, financially a lot different is better than what you can get. And on top of that, with John Wall off the books in 2 years, you can go and get whoever you like when the team is much closer to contending, and you can have a better sense of what your team is going to be. And you can have a better sense of how you're going to be able to pair and complement Jalen and Kevin Porter and whomever the next rookie is. With Ben Simmons, you're kind of trapped in that max salary for 4 years. And then you can't really go spend until his contract is up. And I don't think we have enough evidence of Ben Simmons being that main like max contract guy. It's just... To me, like, I think the Rockets just need to roll with what they got. And I think that's kind of how most teams in the NBA feel. And it's why Ben Simmons hasn't been traded. And the reason why John Wall – I think the Rockets should not trade John Wall, because clearly they have not found a deal that they feel suitable. And clearly, the Rockets need to just stick with their guns because they don't want to take a trade that they regret, or they don't want to take a trade where they're giving up too much. And I think probably what they have seen on the trade market is offers that just don't make enough sense financially for them, and one where they'll probably have to give up a considerable amount of draft picks. And draft picks are about the most valuable thing the Rockets have right now. So I don't think you should just give them away to be free of John Wall when you can buy him out, which is, I think, where this is going. And to me, I think that's the game you play. And you go from there. I think you run with the rookies, see what they have, run it for 2 years. Then once it's 2023, those max salary options open up in your cap. Then you go out and you get whoever you want, not who is being offered in exchange for John Wall right now. You can get anybody that is willing to play for you. And in 2023, when you have Jalen Green about to enter his prime, Kevin Porter about to enter his prime, this is going to be a very popular destination. In my opinion, it's an enticing destination for me right now, I think.
But maybe. Like,
not as much as it will be in 2 years, though.
But that's the thing, is like, that's a lot of moving parts you just described. That's a whole lot of maybes. And the thing is, I got one more name I want to throw at you before, you know, we stop talking about this. But like, Ben Simmons, I do feel like gets a really bad rap in Philly. I think he hates Philadelphia, and I don't blame him, right? Like, Philly has been awful to him. He's got a coaching staff that doesn't believe.
Ben Simmons hasn't been great to Philly either.
Right, but he's surrounded by.
He hasn't lived up to the hype. He's the number one overall pick. He has not lived up to that. He is a third option on a championship team at best.
And but they have no shooting.
That should not be your number one overall pick.
But the thing is like, he would fit in on a roster that's got a ton of shooting. They don't have a ton of shooting in Philadelphia. Like, your best player is a big man.
Not a ton of shooting here in Houston.
Yeah, but the way that this roster plays, they're much younger than Philadelphia. Like, Philadelphia's youth is built into Tobias Harris, who's not a spring chicken, Joel Embiid, who's not a spring chicken anymore by NBA standards. This roster is much more suited to what Ben Simmons does, which he can get out, he can run. You would go to him and say, look, Ben, like, if he stepped in tomorrow, where does he fit in on this roster? You tell him, look, you're not the first option. You're not the second option. Hell, you may not even be the third option. You're probably the fourth option. You are out here to rebound, get out and run, and go get easy buckets. I'll take that every single day.
Mike, you literally just said it, and then you tried to justify what you said, even though you contradicted yourself. You said that Ben Simmons is good for a roster with a ton of shooting, which is correct. But the Rockets do not have that.
Right.
And the Rockets shouldn't try to force feed that idea.
They have more shooting than Philadelphia.
They don't have to.
They have more shooting than Philly.
Force feed that idea.
No, I'm just saying, but by the roster, they have more shooting than Philadelphia. They are a better shooting team than next year.
I don't think Ben Simmons here is a great fit. I think Ben Simmons is a good fit in Minnesota. I think he's a good fit maybe even in San Antonio. I think he's a good fit in Sacramento. Like, those are places I would entertain that idea. But Houston is not one of those places.
Why in Minnesota and not in Houston? I'm just curious.
Why in Minnesota and not Houston?
Yeah.
I think Minnesota is the team that makes the most sense for him. And to be honest, they don't even make a whole lot of sense.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Rockets probably getting traded soon,
that's like gun to my head. That's who I would think gets dealt.
Congrats. This is going to be a better team than Minnesota next year.
Yeah, like, that thing is, it's tough to tell. To me, Ben Simmons has, like, that relationship has just been horrid. They've really tanked it since, they've really tanked it over the last couple of years.
They're a horribly run organization, and they have a gong show of a roster that makes no sense. He at least makes more sense in Houston because the Rockets have some sort of direction if they can move on from Wall. They are a young team building around the guard position. You've got a talented big in Christian Wood. You've got Eric Gordon. You've got David Nwaba. You've got Daniel Tice. You've got Kevin Porter Jr. You have Jalen Green. You've got, you know, You have a decent little team there. And the fact is, in Philadelphia, who's your best shooters? You have Seth Curry, phenomenal knockdown shooter. You've got Tyrese Maxey. Harris is a decent shooter. Joel Embiid's a decent shooter. But look at, I mean, Jalen Green is a good enough three-point shooter. You know, Christian Wood can step out and hit the jumper. You've got David Nwaba, who's a good enough three-point shooter. And you've got Aaron Gordon.
But Mike, also, the same thing here is we've had a theme over the past several years about players not wanting to play here and players, you know, being frustrated. And Ben Simmons is displaying that right now. Yep. Why would we want that on our team?
If he's the best player available and you
can, he's not going to win here. So why would he be happy here?
Because what do we know what he's upset about in Philadelphia? He's probably just treated like hot garbage. Like, what if he comes here and you know what? He's like, look, I'm still getting my same salary. I'm in a non-toxic environment and I'm just playing ball and I'm having fun. If that's the Ben Simmons that we're getting, I would take that Ben Simmons.
I don't know. I feel like John Wall gets a bad rep because he was part of the team that, you know, look at how many people are so excited that John Wall isn't going to play for the Rockets anymore. I mean, it's not like Houston has treated John Wall like a saint.
Because he's done nothing. He literally had an injury-riddled
exactly.
season.
And if Ben Simmons comes here, he's not going to contribute to winning. And you're going to feel the same way about Ben Simmons that you would about John Wall.
But Ben Simmons helps this roster win more games than John Wall does.
Okay, and when we win 25 games instead of 17, you're not going to be that much more excited, Mike. I'm just hate to break it to you, but
they're
that's
winning
how you're
more than
feel.
25 games next season.
I know you better than you know yourself.
They're winning more than 25 games next year. I will.
Okay, 30. Congrats.
No, they're going to win closer to like 35 to 40, I think, next year.
Okay, and that makes you happy?
It makes me happier than winning 17 games and having a superstar that's a
– No, that, Mike, that's not going to make you happy.
John Wall does
Mike,
nothing.
You cannot say you're happy with 35 wins.
I'm saying I'm a hell of a lot more happy with 35 wins than 17 last year.
Okay, then 35 wins leads to what next season?
Like we talked about, like I said, all offseason, if they can sneak into that – stupid, goofy top 10 that you play in.
Okay, and when they get to the playoffs, you know what we do in Houston? When our teams make the playoffs, we expect them to win.
No, we
and
don't.
A team with
if they're a Texans
Simmons
fan, they don't expect
them. Not a team
to
that can win.
Okay, but you're going to sit here and tell me that you just want them to tank again to get a number one pick, or would you rather be competitive and go to the playoffs next season?
Yes, because, Mike, that is a better track towards winning than Ben Simmons. It's the same scenario. It's the exact same scenario as the Harden trade. The exact same. It's literally carbon copy. You're the one who is all about Jared Allen and how he helps the team better win now. And yes, he probably does win you a couple more games this season than what we had. But that would not have gotten us Jalen Green. And Jalen Green is the best player that the Rockets could have gotten out of any of the possible guys that Harden was, you know, dealt for. And the same thing here. Ben Simmons is going to be a free agent in 2023, but you know who else is going to be a free agent in 2023? A bunch of guys. I'm looking at this right now. Bradley Beal, free agent in 2023.
Chris Middleton. Not coming here. Not
Chris
coming
Middleton.
Here. Not coming here.
Nikola Vucevic, a free agent. Draymond Green, a free agent. Fred VanVleet, a free agent. You know, the Rockets can use a couple of these guys. Caris LeVert, a free agent.
Okay,
Gary Trent, free agent.
You and I both.
Like, the Rockets will be able to sign these guys. Jeremy Grant, a free agent.
You can't get.
So, like, the Rockets will be able to get these guys, and they wouldn't if they take Ben Simmons on, because Ben Simmons is making $40 million in 2023.
But you also can't guarantee that any of those guys will want to come here.
You're right. You can't guarantee that, but at least we have a chance. Like, if we sign our life off to Ben Simmons for 4 years as our
max
guy,
signing.
We're
you're
stuck
not
with
signing.
Ben Simmons.
And no,
I
but you're not
you,
signing your life.
Ben Simmons will not be worth $40 million in 2025. And he's going to have just as worse of a contract that John Wall has right now. And I do not want to have these problems in 2025. I just want to be done with it when we can. Let's get out of this hellhole that we've placed ourselves in for the past 5 years. We have an out right now. This is our opportunity. We have no reason to go out and get guys because we suck, Mike. We are the worst team in the NBA. Why do we need to go and get guys that are making $40 million? It wow. doesn't make sense at all, which is why the Rockets should not trade John Wall. They should simply buy him out when they can, give him a couple months so that he can contribute to the team as a mentor right now, and send him on his way to where he wants to go. And if they take a guy like Ben Simmons,
in the future, it's not going to work. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work. It's not the best case scenario for this team long term. Because look, if Ben Simmons comes, that team is in the 4 years. That team is a sixth seed at best. I tell you right now, that team is because Ben Simmons is not worth $40 million, and I'd rather spend that $40 million elsewhere. I'd rather spend that $40 million on three guys that could possibly help this team better, or one guy, maybe a max guy. But even if we don't get a max guy, I'd rather get a better collection of talent than being force-fed Ben Simmons, because he is tanking his trade value just as much as John Wall is now by sitting out. Reason why Ben Simmons is even a question in this scenario, because he's sitting out right now and he's tanking his own trade value right now. And it's going to get to a point where it's so low that this becomes an even fathomable discussion. And the reality is the Rockets don't need Ben Simmons. They don't have room for Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons does not fit this roster, like you said, because the team does not have shooting. Maybe if they get shooting in the next couple of drafts, maybe I can entertain the idea. But right now, this roster needs to focus on the guys they have, because they have a really, really, really talented group of guys. And will they win games this year? Not too many. But at least we can build towards a future and in the middle of the decade have a better chance at winning than we would if we had Ben Simmons.
My preference would be for the buyout.
Buy him out. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, as a trade partner, I would be intrigued by Ben Simmons, is all I will say. But yes, I totally agree with you. But I think it is extremely dangerous to leave to say things like, these guys are free agents in 2023. Like, great. But that doesn't mean you're going to get them. And if you don't get them, then you're stuck in no man's land of like, okay, well.
Look, the Rockets will be able to get a guy. If they were able to get a guy like Daniel Tice for a really good deal, like they, in this offseason after they just won 17 games, they will get people. Like, Houston is enough of a market to where they will be able to attract these free agents, whether they make, millions of dollars or not.
For sure. No, we're on the same page. No, I appreciate the lively discussion, right. But yes, we're on the same page.
I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship. Absolutely. But before we go, Mike, as always, you get your 1 minute mic drop. Talk about whatever you'd like. I feel like we had some good discussion about the Rockets, but if your mic drop is Rockets related, feel free to drop it. But I'm gonna go on mute for a minute and give you your opportunity. So you're one.
Let me tell y'all something, okay? It is so good to have football back in all of our lives, but I'm going to advocate here for just a minute that the Houston Texans may not be as terrible as we envision. I think that they got an extremely terrible rap this offseason, and I want to give a plug that I think this team, led by Tyrod Taylor, led by David Culley, could win a decent amount of games this year based on the first week that I saw. I think they could potentially win 5 to 7 games and keep multiple games interesting throughout the year. So I wanted to spend my mic drop giving the Houston Texans a shout-out for a good win over overrated Urban Meyer and Sunshine from the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Texans are 1-0 and are in first place. So mazel tov to you. Enjoy it while it lasts.
I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship. Thank you guys so much for joining us here today on this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and on Twitter at Dreamshake SBN. You can head to our website, www.thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, on SBNation.com. You can also be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. And we're going live throughout the offseason every Tuesday night here on Spotify Green Room. Thank you to our live audience that listened to us here today. A whole lot of discussion in the comment section. Maybe next episode we'll bring some people up. Sorry we didn't get a chance to tonight, but we're on a tight schedule here at the Dream Shake. So maybe next time, but appreciate the love from all of you guys listening to us live. If you would like to maybe join us on the show, feel free to download the Spotify Green Room app, and you can get notifications if you follow us on here, and you will be able to join on the show maybe sometime. So we'd love for new friends to meet all across the world. We know how popular we are in all places of the world. We're still doing that Australia live episode someday. That's the last thing I do.
That is.
Oh, I'm so in. I'm so in, dude. I'm so in.
Shout out to the Aussies and shout out to all of our listeners from around the world, and especially those in Houston who are dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Nicholas. Again, our thoughts are with you. Be sure to also follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Miss Michael Brown, at
BSW Podcast _ MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JEREMYBRENER. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Dream Ticket. Until next time, go Rockets.